name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hi, I'm Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. I just noticed that I typed this all wrong in the outline, so I'm glad you got it. We've done it for so long. We should know what to say. Anyways, welcome back to this month on the podcast. This month we are talking about choosing to not have kids. And we'll get into that a little bit. But first, some announcements. We mentioned last month on the podcast that we're doing a $15 podcast funding thingy. So if you pay us $15 once or over the course of the podcast, we will podcast on whatever you want. You get to pick the topic. It goes towards funding our advertising. No, it goes towards funding like the hosting and the editing and stuff like that. You can find the links to do so in the episode description. And now, for the question of the week of the month, what is the best musical soundtrack? And this question came about because I was listening to The Greatest Showman, and when I was watching TikTok, and then they had that Greatest Showman song come up, and then I started listening to the whole thing today. So, yes, Colby, what is the best musical soundtrack?
So, my favorite musical soundtracks are not my most listened to musical soundtracks. My most listened to is probably Les Mis, the 25th anniversary edition, which is pretty good with the exception of Nick Jonas, who does a fine job, but he's not the best. But I think my favorites are going to be Newsies, which I saw on Broadway in 2014, that version, the pro shot, is on Disney Plus if you want to watch it with Jeremy Jordan. His voice is amazing. I want to be him. And probably my favorite movie musical soundtrack, I'm gonna say Moana. It's really good.
Oh my god, I didn't even think about all the Disney ones. Ooh. So I am with you. I agree that my most listened to soundtrack is not necessarily my favorite one. The most listened to is the original Broadway cast of Hamilton. It has been in my top Spotify albums for like 4 years running at this point. I need to start listening to other things. But there's a couple of different answers, and I'm going to be on brand and say High School Musical, all three of them can make for some really fun bops. And then I weirdly really like the musical version of Les Mis from the movie, except I skip the Russell Crowe songs because I do not like Russell Crowe. And we have a special guest this week, and before we introduce her, we will ask her, what is her favorite musical soundtrack? Tessa, what do you got?
This is such a difficult question. I'm going to follow your lead and say that probably the one that I listen to the most on my Spotify is the Rent soundtrack. I really love Rent, although it is closely followed by Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I really love that soundtrack as well. But, and hear me out, I think one of the best musical soundtracks of all time does not exist. I found this out recently. So I love Phantom of the Opera, but I found out that Andrew Lloyd Webber actually asked Jim Steinman, who wrote Total Eclipse of the Heart, if he would do the lyrics for Phantom of the Opera. Jim Steinman turned him down because he wanted to write an opera that was called Vampires in Love. And that's actually where Total Eclipse of the Heart came from, is it was supposed to be a song from this musical that never got made called Vampires in Love. And honestly, I think a soundtrack of a musical about vampires in which Total Eclipse of the Heart is one of its songs would have been an amazing musical soundtrack. I probably would have listened to it every day. So there you go. Fun fact I learned recently.
I love that.
Out of respect of our guests, I will not say how I feel about Rent and Phantom of the Opera.
I understand.
I do think that Total Eclipse of the Heart is a better song than Music of the Night.
I agree. I don't know what you thought I was going to do, disagree with you on that one. Total Eclipse of the Heart is like one of the ultimate musical numbers that isn't in a musical.
What's really funny is the day of the solar eclipse was a few years ago, a local radio station played that song literally all day. Like they would just be like, oh, and like up next, we have Total Eclipse of the Heart. And then they would just like play it again. It was so funny. I was like, and it's a good song. So like I listened to it on the whole drive to work. It was awesome. Yeah, but y'all, Cats, actually, that should have been my answer. Cats, Cats, the movie.
Good movie.
With Taylor Swift.
I haven't actually seen it.
Ugh.
At all.
It sounds like a monkey to me. Speaking of which, Martha
please.
Is.
I'm guesting on that episode. I'm making it happen. Put me on the content calendar. It's great.
Making room for you now.
Yes. And I request that we all watch it. You guys don't watch different things. It's that we all watch Cats.
We all just watch Cats.
Yeah.
Martha, who's our guest?
Our guest. Oh, yeah. You heard her talk. Her name is Tessa Suela, our friend from Monkey Off My Backlog. Tessa, where can we find Monkey and where can we find you online?
You can find Monkey Off My Backlog at Monkey Backlog on Twitter. And at Monkey Backlog on Instagram. And you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Suela Tessa. Suela is spelled S-W-E-H-L-A.
And you can find me on Instagram at Real Martha Riley and on Twitter at Marth _ Vader.
And you can find me on Twitter at Colby Complains.
As we mentioned earlier this month, we are talking about the choice to not have a child. And I was talking to Tessa earlier this week when we decided this, and I'm really excited for this episode because I know we all have slightly different opinions. So I'm excited to hash them out. Let's duke it out.
Let's fight about having kids. Yeah,
it's a total original fight. No one has ever had this particular fight before.
Okay, let's go around and sort of state, you know, do we want to have kids? Do we not want to have kids? And why? Tessa, you are a guest of honor. You can go first.
I feel like you're asking me to like declare something like, hi, I'm Tessa. And yeah, it feels like a real binary. Like, do you want kids? Do you not want kids? So I don't have children. I am 30 and I do not have children and I do not plan on ever having children. Partially, I mean, I'm sure that as we go through this episode, we'll talk about the many, many reasons why people don't want to have children and the reasons people do want to have children. But for me, it's just I have never imagined having children. Like, that's just not something that's ever been part of my imagination of how my life would look like, even when I was a kid and people were like, oh, you're going to grow up and you're going to get married and you're going to have kids, which, to be fair, is an alarmingly heteronormative view of the world. But even then, I just didn't really think about it. It wasn't something that was ever a priority to me. And when I think about caring for something, it's more of like a pet or a plant. It's not a child. So yeah, I'm sure we'll dig further into that about I have other reasons why, but no, I don't want kids. I like kids, but I don't particularly want to live with any. So that's the short version of my stance on this issue.
Colby.
I don't want a kid right now. 24. I don't need that kind of stress in my life.
Pretend you're 30, pretend you're Tessa's age.
No, so yeah, me and my partner, we both want to have children one day that is not anywhere near today. I am sure a lot of it is, yeah, you are told when you are a child that one day you are going to grow up and you are going to get married and you are going to have X amount of children. But I do really enjoy the idea of raising a little thing that's going to grow up and live in this weird world and have experiences and like do the human things. I'm thinking about Soul right now. I'm very into the movie Soul, but like find their spark. I think that'd be cool.
I am with Tezza in that I do not want to have kids. Am I open to the idea? It really depends on where I am when I feel financially stable enough to have kids, because unfortunately, like, that's a huge part of, like, having a kid. It's being able to support them and give them the life you want. Right now, could I do that? I can barely take care of myself. So it really depends on that. I would also be open to adopting, but when I was a kid, you know, you kind of always fantasize, like, what's it like to play house, or like, what's it like to do this? I never played house. I imagined what my wedding was going to look like more than I've ever wanted to be a mom. I felt weird about this choice because I had a lot of friends and a lot of family members, like my mom and my dad, would be like, oh, I don't want kids. And they'll be like, oh, that'll change. And maybe, but I also think that, especially for a woman or someone with a uterus who can actually carry a baby, that choice is maybe more personal than, like, if I had a partner and was like, yeah, let's have a kid. Like, to me, it doesn't, you really have to be on the same page. Because my dad was always like, you know, I never wanted to have a kid. And I'm like, I was nervous about being a dad until I held you for the first time. And that's like cute dad story, whatever. But we're pro dad on this podcast.
I just want to say Matt Goo is pro daddy. Carry on.
Yeah. So that's like not something I ever really saw for myself. And now I'm like 27. A lot of my friends are getting married. I expect a few of them to start having kids in the next 1 to 3 years. And that's awesome. I can't wait to be an awesome aunt.
Auntie Martha.
I was going to say, like, I think that that's like a really big myth that people have about people who choose to be child-free, like this idea of, oh, well, then you don't like kids. Well, and I don't think that's true. Like, I like kids just fine. I like being an aunt. I like, you know, hanging out with kids. There's a lot of ways in which child-free people connect with kids in their community. They just don't have them in their own house, if that makes sense. Like, so I think that that's something that's interesting to interrogate, this idea that, oh, well, you must not like kids, or you must just like your life the way it is too much. And I don't think that's necessarily true. It just means that, you know, you're invested in other types of relationships with children rather than a parental relationship.
For sure. Now I'm thinking about, Tessa, what you said earlier about, like, I like never really having like the thought of like hanging with your own children. I literally have playbooks set up for my kids' basketball team that I will be coaching one day. Like, I'm ready to run whatever YMCA league my kid is going to be in if they want to play basketball.
You force them to. What are you talking about?
I'm not going to force my kid to play basketball.
My parents did.
I'm not going to force them to do. I'm going to force them to eat vegetables, but I'm not going to force them into certain. I don't know. That's a thing. Because I do believe that sometimes children don't need a choice in something. Sometimes it's like, yes, you need to do this one thing. Like, you don't get a choice whether or not you want to go to school or not. And like, I feel like my thing with having a kid will be, you have to do like something. Like, you're not just going to like sit around and do nothing all day. If your thing is video games, awesome. You're going to do video games. If your thing is going to be like reading, do reading, but you're not just going to do nothing.
Tessa, and you're a little bit older than me. Do you feel pressure like from your family or from the external world that like, you need to have a kid, or are they pretty accepting of your choice?
So, I would definitely say as a woman, or like you said, a person with a uterus, I feel like there is a lot of pressure from different parts of society to have a child. You know, as you mentioned, Colby, you know, you grow up hearing this a lot from your family. I have had at least one really big, terrible breakup over not wanting to have kids. So there's that kind of pressure, right? Is the idea that, oh, well, if you're going to be with someone, you know, you have to want what they want. And that's not saying that not having kids or having kids isn't a good reason to break up. It's just a reason why breakups happen. But I would say, yeah, there's that. I think my parents are very sad. I'm their oldest child, so they still have time. They still have a chance to have grandkids. But I think my parents are sad that I, you know, decided not to give them grandkids. It doesn't really come up a lot, but it is definitely something, especially with my mom, I think, because she was a stay-at-home mom. And so I think there's some tension there sometimes about this idea of, well, are you like rejecting the life that I thought was good enough for me? And like, you know, that kind of thing as well. So I do think that there's a lot of familial pressure to have children. I wrote down some things that people have told me when I've told them that I don't want kids. One of them is you'll change your mind. I think that that's like a really big one.
My parents tell me that all the time. I don't bring it up much anymore, but they're very much like, I don't know, like you'll figure it out. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Like not having a child or not wanting to have a child is like a childish idea in and of itself. Like you'll just grow out of it. Right. That's kind of what that one is. Your biological clock is ticking. That's one of my favorites. Like you're depriving the world of your genes, basically, if you don't have a child in your 20s. That's like a big one. And then, yeah, stuff like I had a friend who got married and had children. And I don't even remember what was the inciting incident of this conversation, but she basically told me that she was like at a more advanced stage in life. Like she had progressed further along in the journey of life than I had because she had children. So she was like more of an adult than I was, that kind of thing. So yeah, I think that there is a lot of pressure around being a woman and having children or a child in this particular society. I'm sure it exists in other societies as well.
I have a question, Tessa. Where are you from? Like where's your birthplace?
Well, I was born in Georgia, but my father is military, so we moved around a lot when I was a kid. But I spent most of my growing up years in Kansas.
Gotcha.
So that's where I say that I'm from, just slightly north of Kansas City.
So y'all are both Midwest, sort of, or plains, whatever. I don't know what Kansas is. I've never...
Prairie. It's prairie.
But those are like pretty conservative areas, generally, if we're going to paint with broad brushes. I know that the South kind of has a similar ethos as far as, you know, pressuring people, especially people with uteruses, to have children. I wonder if that would be different. I wonder what those pressures are like in like the Northeast or on the West Coast. Is it the same? Is it different? I don't know.
Well, I can sort of speak to Minnesota, and I definitely think we've talked about this before on the podcast, and how I often feel pressure from sort of my friends group and people that I know, like I'm behind somehow, that I'm not in a relationship, I'm not married, I don't have kids. And then even though I'm only 27, like I feel incredibly behind sometimes, and I don't really like that feeling. I don't like feeling behind because I like to be first. If yay first, you last. But
Martha, he was high when he said that.
Oh, I love that movie. We should do a podcast on that. Side note. Yeah, but have you guys felt like similar pressure to that? Or is it, you know, you feel like you are making your own decision and not being pressured to anything else?
I don't know. Like, I am engaged to be married. I am 24 years old, which is fairly young, not like super young, fairly young to be engaged. Of course, everyone would say this, but the way that my relationship has kind of panned out today as we're recording, it's been 5.5 years that we're together. We feel very comfortable in that decision and making that decision for ourselves. And I believe that when it comes time to have the babies, if that's something that we still want to do down the line, I think it'll be a similar type of thing. I'm not sure what our families will say. I don't know, like 4 or 5 years from now, if they're going to be like, so where are the grandkids? I don't know if that sort of conversation is going to be coming. I haven't gotten that vibe from either of our parents yet, but we'll see.
Let me ask you a question, Colby. How early on did you all start having conversations about having kids? Like, when did you bring it up? Or when did she bring it up?
Like, seriously?
Yeah, or even just, like, when did you start, like, indicating? Like, because I feel like there's this, like, really delicate thing where either people don't talk to each other about kids until it's way too late in the relationship and they find out they have incompatible views about kids, or they're like me after that really terrible breakup where I just started, like on the third date, I would be like, so, like, you know, I would just like drop it into conversations because I didn't want to get too far along with somebody who was going to like dump me again. So like, I'm sure I scared a lot of dudes and girls, like just like throwing that casually in. So like, how do you feel about children? Like, but like,
no, that's a good question. This reminds me of like every like seventh episode of Married at First Sight, which is a fantastic show that everyone should watch. It's my favorite reality TV show behind The Challenge. But yeah, how early did we start talking about kids? Probably like for real talking about it 2-ish years in, and we still don't have like 100% compatible views, because I'm like, hey, 2 kids sounds good, and she's like, hey, 5 kids sounds awesome. And I'm like, you haven't had one yet. Let's wait till we get the first one out the way, and then we'll see from there. But yeah, it was fairly early, and it's been like a continuous conversation. It's never, I don't think those sorts of conversations, like future looking because of the person that my partner is, those conversations have, it feels like they've always been there. I would not feel uncomfortable going out there and talking about children to her, or finances, or like wedding stuff or whatever.
Well, that's good. That's like a really strong relationship if you feel like you can just bring up like what are considered to be like difficult subjects, mm-hmm. just like that. With my current partner, I definitely dropped it in probably way too soon, but I was definitely like, you know, hey, like, I'm just not that interested in having kids, like, FYI, which again is a really weird thing to say, like, early in a relationship. But I was very lucky in the fact that he was a little older than me. And so I think at that point in his life, like, he was open to the idea of having kids, but he wasn't necessarily like counting on it as like an idea. And so he was very like, oh yeah, like it'll just be the two of us and we'll be a family. And that has been really great, just sort of redefining what a family looks like in terms of that. I have also been with him for 5 years, and it's definitely been this idea of like, no, we're like our own little family unit. We don't need necessarily more of us to be a family, which I think is an interesting thing that people don't, I don't think everybody always thinks about it that way. Like, a couple is sort of incomplete without children, I think, to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I feel like your partner would very easily take that conversation in stride. He just seems like that kind of dude. That's good. I like healthy relationships. Healthy relationships are fun. They're a good time.
On the other sort of end of that spectrum, I guess it's like a three-pronged spectrum, probably more, but as we both know, I like dating apps, and I have been on them for a while over the years, and now a lot of dating apps are starting to include like badges. So it's very much like, do you want to have kids? Do you not want to have kids? Are you open to kids? So I've selected, I think most of the time it's either no, I don't want them, or maybe. And I actually like don't feel bad bringing it up right away. Like, maybe not right away, but it's something that comes up. I was like, oh, like, do you want kids? Just as like you're getting to know each other. I don't know. Maybe that's just my perspective. But to me, that almost doesn't seem as big of a deal as like, how do you want to split our finances? It just seems like you can either continue the conversation based around kids, or you can just like stop and be like, okay, I guess this is maybe like not the best match for me. Like, I went on a date one time with this guy who was like, I really just want to be a dad. And I was like, we are not going to get along. So it was like, I never saw him again. So I feel like sometimes it is okay to filter out based on those kind of things. And the apps let you do. One thing I'm trying to work on is not swiping on people based on astrology sign.
You mean there isn't an astrology sign for, like, want to have kids? Like, this person wants to have kids. This person doesn't want to have kids.
It's more like, do I think they're compatible with me based on my one piece of information that I have? No, swipe. Just kidding. I don't really do that.
Don't lie. Don't lie to these people. I know you do. I'm not going to let you get away with that. I know you have, because we have had this conversation.
That's true.
I'm not going to let you lie to these people. I want you to be your true authentic self.
I was just relying on Colby's memory, but clearly it's pretty good. So we solved that mystery.
I have another question for y'all. Does the state of the world and the way that the world is trending factor in at all into how, like, if you want to have children? Because I am a Black person. My child, if they are biological, will also be Black. And that's, I know firsthand, it's not an easy, inherently easy life to live. And any other marginalized identity you put on top of it makes it that much harder. And that's definitely something I think about a lot when I think about having kids. So is like global warming is how society treats everyone who isn't a straight white man. Like, does that factor into whether or not y'all want to have children?
Yeah, absolutely. It does. I am a white female. This is maybe a thing I need to work on, but I don't, when I think about having kids, race is probably not the first thing that I think about. It's more like, can the world support this? Do I feel okay, like, having a child in 10 years when we don't know what the world's going to look like? It could be terrible. We could, like, Trump could rise from the dead and, like, you know, become president again. I mean, I don't think he can because we impeached him or whatever, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's the reason. Not the rising from the dead.
I was going to say, man, I missed a lot in the news today.
I don't know. He's probably like Mitch McConnell, just hanging on by a thread. Anyways, yeah, it's something I think about. And it worries me a little bit, but I do have hope. I guess, like, I am hopeful for future generations and, like, you know, Gen Z is really not all that bad. Like, maybe they can save us. So I absolutely do think about it. Is it my number one concern? Not really. It's more through how my aging, decomposing body could get through pregnancy. But
I mean, it is definitely a concern for me. I'm going to introduce you all to a new term. I feel like that dude at a party who's like, let me tell you about ethical non-monogamy. But there's a term out there. It's called antinatalism. Have you all heard of this before?
No, I haven't.
I have not. Learn me some.
Okay. So, and I'm just going to preface this by saying I don't necessarily believe this, but this is a big social and philosophical reason for why people don't have kids. So antinatalism is the belief that procreation is morally wrong. And the reason that people who are antinatalists believe this, there's a lot of different ways to be antinatalist. The view has a lot of roots in various philosophical and religious movements. So, like, there are some Buddhists who believe it, for an example. A lot of people think it originated in some parts of ancient Greece. But I find some of the more, like, esoteric philosophy around this really interesting. So, like, some philosophers think that it's morally wrong to have a child because it's impossible to obtain their consent to be alive, basically. Like, it's impossible to ask someone whether they would rather be alive or not be alive. So that's, like, one reason. And the other one was, like, death is inherently harmful. Like, to have a child is to, like, expose them to death and to expose them to suffering. And so that's why some people don't want children, or they believe in antinatalism. But more recently, like you said, Martha, it's been linked to environmentalist movements that believe that the extinction of humans is the only way that we're going to save this planet. And so that's one, like, kind of extreme part of it. The other really interesting part of this movement is the idea that we should be adopting more children instead of giving birth to more children, because there are so many children out there that don't have that don't have parents. So I don't necessarily subscribe to antinatalism because I think that people should really decide what they want for themselves. I'm a pretty laid back person in that way. But I do think that it brings up some really, like the people who do believe this, it brings up some really interesting ideas about like what kind of world are we bringing this child into? And like, what are the questions? And I think some of your questions, Colby, especially are really important to think about. You know, this idea of, you know, when we introduce a child in this world, like what is our moral obligation there? Which I think is just really interesting. I don't think personally that the state of the world has influenced my decision not to have children. For me, it's much more personal, but I can't lie and say that I don't feel relieved that I'm not, that I don't have to worry about that, if that makes sense. Like this idea of like, I don't have to worry about having a kid who is going to have to navigate all of these things or, you know, deal with a world that may not, you know, be particularly hospitable in the next, you know, 20 to 30 years. So yeah, not maybe a motivating factor, but definitely something that I feel a lot of relief over.
I am scanning the Wikipedia page for antinatalism, and this is very interesting. It's just
Isn't it interesting though?
To read about.
Yeah.
Like, I paused at the negative utilitarianism. Listeners of Four Nations Report will laugh because I had like a 10-minute conversation with Ariel on that podcast about utilitarianism too. But they have like a game theory matrix. Like they have like a game theory matrix on whether or not you should have a child because of the chance that the child would be unhappy with their life. And it's very interesting. Huh. People have thoughts.
I mean, it's just interesting to think about the fact that like having a child is a choice that's a lot more fraught, I think, than we really like give it credit for. Like a lot of times we think like, oh, well, people have been having children for forever. Like, it's so easy to have a child, you know? And we don't really think about, like, some of the potential implications that birthing a human being into this world might have. So I find it fascinating.
Are we all caught up on The Good Place here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show.
If you're not, I guess, skip to, I don't know, a minute or so in the future. But literally, as soon as the future of your life, not in the podcast, just find a way to time travel. I think literally when if you have a child in a hospital, as soon as that child is like put into something that uses energy, they are a net negative on the planet. Like it's immediate. And I think, wow, that's really interesting. It's not like change my mind interesting, but it's interesting to think about.
Yeah. And again, like, I feel like there are people who are really militant about like this sort of belief system. Like, I am not somebody who's going to go around calling people with children breeders or, you know, anything like that. Like, to me, that's very negative.
Oh, geez.
And judgmental. And I don't think that anybody really has that say over another person's decisions with the, you know, regards to procreation. But I do find the whole philosophical concept fascinating.
Here's where I think things can become problematic for people who want to have kids. And that is when they feel like something in their life is missing. So they want to fill that gap with a child. I don't like that point of view. I was discussing this with my therapist recently because we were talking about dating and I was like, you know, conventional wisdom says don't date if you're lonely or whatever. But I'm like, well, I feel, you know, whole by myself. Like I have a lot of hobbies and activities and friends, but I also would like something of a romantic nature and like a partner. But I don't consider that like filling a gap. Like this pandemic actually has made me realize like I'm pretty darn self-sufficient. Like it's great if I had a partner and like had someone to spend time with, but it's not currently a priority like in a pandemic. So I guess I'm curious, do you think having a child is similar to like dating when you're lonely? I guess like, do you kind of know what I'm saying in that, you know, I feel like a lot of people have kids to like fix something in their relationship or it will bring us closer together when that really doesn't work. I don't know.
Have y'all seen the movie The Lobster?
Yes.
I have not.
Ooh, Another Monkey.
Another Monkey.
Another Monkey. It's a great movie.
It is good.
I don't think this is a spoiler. I think I saw it as a throwaway joke. But the concept of the lobster is basically you have to find a lifetime partner in order to stay human. And if you don't find a partner, then you get turned into an animal. And one, whenever some of the couples are like going through a rough time, they just throw a child at them. And it's like, okay, you have a child now, be happy. And it's funny that the Yorgos Lanthimos, I think that's the director's name, used that as a bit of satire in that movie. But yeah, don't do that.
I read a lot of the Dear Prudence column on Slate, and also a lot of Reddit, I feel like, is dedicated to just this issue. Like, the idea that, like, well, or it's either, like, I'm lonely and I would like a child to fill that gap, or it's my relationship would be better if I had a child. Yeah. And I think that that is a huge reason not to have a child. If your relationship is not good, do not have a child with that person. That is forever. But I don't know. Like, for me, one of the other reasons that I remain child-free is that I personally don't feel like I have a good enough reason to have a child. Like, I don't feel... It's just not a huge priority in my life. And I feel, and again, as someone who plans on never becoming a parent, this is kind of odd to say, but I feel like people who become parents, they having a child should be a priority, right? Like, you want the health and well-being and you know, nurture of your child to be like the biggest part of your life. And if it's not, you know, there's a really high chance that you're going to make that child suffer in some way. And, you know, and again, that could bring us back to the whole, like, you know, is bringing a child in the world ethical? But, you know, I feel like there's a lot of ways in which parents mess up, even the best parents mess, you know, up with their children. But I definitely think that bringing a child into the world for the wrong reasons, and there are many wrong reasons to bring a child into the world, I just feel like that is a potential for making their life worse rather than better.
Yeah. And, you know, that makes me think of farther down the line, you know, say you get divorced or something and you have kids and like, what does that do to the kids? I'll tell you, my parents' divorce fucked me up. Like, good. So, but I'm not saying like that should not be a reason to have kids. Like, you shouldn't assume you're going to get divorced, I guess. But it like really messed me up, I guess. And we've talked about it before. So I wonder about that too. Like, I wouldn't want to bring a child into a relationship where I wasn't ready for it, I guess, or like didn't feel that it was strong enough. I don't know.
I also want to say that, like, I had a pretty happy, like, for the most part, stress-free childhood. Like, my parents were like very like into us and like into the things that we were doing and like wanted to make sure.
And what was that like?
I was about to say your partner's gonna make fun of me because I swore before this podcast I was gonna say this, but they like made sure that I got to the elementary school that they wanted me to go to, and they like I was like supported when I wanted to do music, and when I didn't want to play a certain sport anymore, I didn't have to do that anymore. And like, I'm sure that weighs heavily into like my choice to have kids, because I want someone else to have that, like to have like a support system and to be that for someone else.
That's beautiful.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like that makes me wish that you were my dad, Colby. Like,
Colby, can you also be my dad?
Do y'all want to play basketball?
You know the answer to that.
You'd have to teach me, but yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, but that's the thing, is that you want someone like that to have kids. Like, you want, like, if you're that invested in having a child, you'll probably make a great parent. But I feel like if you're not as invested in that and you're doing it for some other reason, you might not be the best parent.
Tessa and I just have lots of trauma.
We're working through stuff on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. One thing I wanted to bring up is that This is, so I, like Tessa, love advice blogs. This is from an advice blog called The Rumpus. It was written by Cheryl Strayed, author of Wild back in the day. This is from 2011. And this was her advice that she gives, like, how do you know you want a child? And like, what happens if, you know, your life is good, but like, what if it could be better if you have a kid? This is her response. So she says, what don't you know? Make a list. Write down everything you don't know about your future life, which is everything, of course, but use your imagination. What are the thoughts and images that come to mind when you picture yourself at twice the age you are now? What springs forth if you imagine the 82-year-old self who opted to keep enjoying the same life? And what when you picture the 82-year-old self with a 39-year-old son or daughter? Write down the same life and son or daughter, and underneath each, make another list of the things you think those experiences would give to and take from you, and then ponder which entries on your list might cancel each other out.
Or child, so you don't force a gender binary on your kid.
Yes. This was written in 2011. We are past that now. I agree. But yeah, I really like that life because, all right, sorry, I like that life. I like this advice because I think this is something that I've thought about, like, I won't be able to afford to travel as much as I do, or I won't be able to afford the things I want to in my life, or, you know, I'm going to become boring or something. Those are all things I've thought about. I really like this. And if the time ever comes where I'm deciding to have a kid, I will probably pull up this podcast, pull up this article and give it a think, give it a good think.
So this seems like a good time to mention, according to the USDA, a study done by the USDA in 2015, the average cost in the U.S., not including college education, for raising a child to age 18 was $233,610. And that was in 2015. With inflation, it's closer to $300,000 now. So
I'm out. We're done.
It is very expensive in the U.S. to raise a child, and that's not like including things like healthcare or, you know, anything like that. So, you know, cost is a real detriment to a lot of people, especially I think millennials who are younger and who don't have the savings or the acquired wealth that a lot of older generations had. I know that there are a lot of people who cite that as a reason for why they don't have kids.
And not just like the healthcare thing, like, or if like early childhood care, after school care, working at a place that has summer camps. Summer camp is expensive. It is so expensive to have someone take care of your kid over the summer. And if you don't live near someone who will watch your kids free or for a little charge, that is a huge cost. Which is why we're planning on living in this area for a very long time.
I never went to camp. I'm kind of salty about that.
I went to church camps.
I went to camp, but I hated it. Like, I went one summer and I hated it so much. I was like, never again.
I guess I went to day camp. It was like Monday through Thursday. I hated it because I didn't have friends.
Yeah, I went to day camps.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I think cost is a really big reason why people are starting to have less kids. Like, there is definitely a decline in the birth rate. In the U.S. especially, and in other places, other places like Japan, places in Europe all have declining birth rates as well. So this is definitely something that is becoming more and more of an issue in that way. I also think that kind of related to cost, the fact that there's still a really inequitable division of domestic labor when it comes to childcare as well. The fact that like women have a harder time having careers or having jobs after they have children. A lot of times, you know, their partners are either, you know, there's just this very gendered idea of like women have to take care of the children and men have to work. And I'm sure you guys have read all of those terrible articles that came out during the pandemic about all these dudes who were like stuck at home with their families and like couldn't like do anything at all. Like they couldn't help with the childcare at all. Like because they just didn't know how and they refused to learn how. And I think that that's also a big reason why a lot of women, especially highly educated ones, because the more educated you are, the less likely you are to have to have children. I think that they sort of think it through and go, no, maybe I don't want to do that. Like, maybe I want to have the career, or I want to have, you know, whatever in my life, instead of, you know, having to do all this labor and not dividing it equitably.
It makes sense, because you and Sam both have big brains. So yeah, no kids tricks.
I mean, I feel like my partner would be like, I don't, that's not something that ever really occurs to me, because I know my partner believes all of that. And so we already divide the domestic labor in our house the way it is now pretty equitably. And, you know, there is a lot of changes. Like, the whole stay-at-home dad thing is like becoming more of a thing, which is really cool. But I mean,
I'd be so about it. Please. I'd be so
I could
ready.
See that. Yeah. But I think too, like, there is like a devaluing of domestic labor. And we have seen more women leave the workforce over this pandemic because they don't have childcare. So, and again, apparently their husbands can't have the childcare. I don't know. Like, it baffles me sometimes how ingrained that is in our culture.
Colby, we're going to find you when you have your kids and make sure there is an equal division of labor. I'm going to make sure of it.
Please do. Hold me accountable, as if my partner won't.
Yeah, I was going to say. I feel like you wouldn't let that happen, but.
But yeah, I think that's another reason. But I mean, I think there's a lot of other reasons too. I mean, there's like health reasons. Like you said, Martha, earlier when you were talking about how pregnancy is a trauma. Like, it really is. And like, that's not to say that people don't like enjoy pregnancy or anything like that. It's just, it does a lot to your body. And, you know, some women are just not interested in going through that. You know, some of us have chronic illnesses that, you know, pregnancy could exacerbate, you know, quite a bit. And so there's all of those things to think about as well.
For sure. For sure. Which, and like, I don't have a chronic illness, but I do have a pretty significant food allergies. And that's something that Carla and I talk about is, hey, if this is something we want to do and you get pregnant, you have to eat all of these foods while you're pregnant to make sure that, or to at least try to make sure that these kids don't have the same problems that I do.
Is that science? Does that work?
It sometimes works. Okay. I'm not sure how hard the science is, but that's what they tell people. It's like, hey, if the partner that's not carrying the kid has food allergies and you don't have those allergies, eat those foods. So child gets those sorts of proteins.
Like the exposure?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes that works. I mean, not for like severe food allergies, obviously, because you could die. But like sometimes people will do like exposure therapy for like mild allergies. So maybe.
Mm.
And your body just learns like, hey, this, yeah. This peanut isn't trying to kill you, actually.
So let's take a room reading. I guess I feel like we kind of brought up a lot of big stuff, at least for me. I don't know. I've been kind of like thinking about this while we've been talking. How are you guys feeling? Like, do you feel, you know, more informed? Do you feel like secure in your decision still? Or did we bring up some good points that you want to think about?
I feel like I'm going to spend the rest of the evening reading the antinatalist Wikipedia page.
It's so interesting. I mean, if you like The Good Place or just like philosophy in general, I mean, it is a very philosophical approach towards having children. I mean, I feel pretty secure in my decision to be child-free. I mean, do I think sometimes like it would be cool to have like a little version of my partner to like, you know, hang out with? Sure. But like, to me, I feel a lot more investment on other types of relationships. And so, you know, as cool as I think kids are, I think there's just a lot of reasons why it's just not personally for me.
I think for me, I'm starting to, I read that article earlier today from The Rumpus, and I do kind of wonder what I would be missing, but I feel like I need to remind myself of all the things that we've talked about, like money, health reasons, like so many things can go wrong. Not saying that they will, like many babies are born perfectly with no issues, but Yeah, something we didn't bring up, and I'll just mention briefly, but a reason I would want to have a kid would be to see my dad become a grandpa, because I think he'd be really great at it. But that's not a reason to have a kid whatsoever. So
do not let your parents pressure you into having children.
I feel like they might. I feel like I'm susceptible.
It's not a good idea.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I won't. Is there anything else you guys want to discuss before we end the podcast?
I think the only other thing I would say, and this comes from, like I said, I have a chronic illness, and I do a lot of work in sort of that community and in the disability community. One of the things that I would say is don't automatically assume that because somebody is staying child-free, that it's because they don't want to pass on their genes. That's like a really insulting reason to not have children. And it doesn't mean that people aren't doing that. It just means like, maybe don't like automatically assume that about someone. Plenty of disabled people and people with chronic illnesses have children. It's kind of a eugenics creepy thing to think that like, oh, like a blind person doesn't want to have children because why would they want to pass that on? That's not okay to think that. And, you know, just because some of us think pregnancy might make some things worse doesn't mean that it does for everybody. So that would be the only thing I would say is like, don't make assumptions for why people want to be child-free. Maybe just ask them.
And on the all opposite side of that, don't ask a woman if she's pregnant.
Yes. That should be rule number one.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
It baffles me how often it actually does happen, oh, which is...
One of my friends tweeted recently, I'll be very vague about it so people can't figure out who this is, but like she was talking about how like she was interviewing someone, like she was the interviewer. So she was interviewing someone at a job and it was like a younger dude. Like he was like in his early 20s. And he asked her, the interviewer at a job interview, if she was going to quit her job when she settled down to have a family.
Yikes.
Don't do that either, dear listeners of MacGoo. Just don't. At a job interview.
No.
Bad. Tessa, thank you.
Thanks for having me. This was really fun and kind of cathartic.
It was.
And I feel like Colby's my dad now.
He is all of our dads, whatever that means. Not going to read much into it.
Read everything into it.
Again, thank you for coming on, Tessa. One more time, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Letterboxd at Swayla Tessa. Swayla is spelled S-W-E-H-L-A.
And Colby, what about you? Ew, no, we can't end this good. We're done. Find us online at www.marthaandcolby or on Twitter and Instagram at @marthaandcolby.
Thanks to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan from Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Shout out to Irene, even though you don't listen to this podcast.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon. And you can find me on Instagram at Real Martha Riley and on Twitter at Marth _ Vader. Colby.
Huh?
Say your Twitter handle.
Oh, sorry.
Are you watching sports?
No, I was watching you point and I didn't know what you were pointing at. Okay.
Chase was a pop culture beast.